guys. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We have a special guest today, one of my teammates and my sweet mate, Brad Johnson, a.k.a. Bread.
How's it going?
How you doing, Bread?
Not bad. About yourself?
Good. Happy April, everybody. New month. Happy April Fools. We're going to get into talking about the tournament, Brad. The NCAA tournament is now down to two teams after UNC defeated Syracuse and Villanova defeated Oklahoma, the team I had winning it all. So, first of all, Brad, did you make a bracket?
I did make a bracket.
Who did you have winning your bracket?
I had Kansas. I was pretty upset that they lost in, what, the Sweet 16?
I think the Elite Eight, wasn't it?
I think it might have actually the Elite Eight.
Yeah, it was the Elite Eight. Yeah, I can't believe they lost.
I know. After that, I wanted Oklahoma to win too, but they got killed.
Demolished by Villanova. I had Oklahoma. Everyone knows that. Oklahoma going all the way with it. You know, Buddy Hield. But, man, they got destroyed.
What was that, a 40-point loss?
Yeah, 44 to be exact. What do you think happened during that game, man?
I have no idea. I actually had to miss the game because I was in a class. But from what I heard, Villanova was shooting, what, like 60% from the field?
70-something percent, I think, actually.
So pretty much Villanova just made all their shots, and Oklahoma just couldn't get anything going.
And Villanova did do a good job on the defensive end. They were kind of locking up and making them take tough shots.
Yeah, they shut down Buddy Hield, too, which is tough to do.
They did, but I feel like Buddy had a bad game instead of, like, them shutting him down. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just had a bad game. He started off the game, like, 1-for-1 from the three. Everyone thought he was about to have another good game, but you say you didn't see it. And then, yeah, from there, he just was turning it over and missing shots. What do you think about that? Did you see the UNC versus Syracuse game?
I caught the very end of that game.
What do you think about that one, from what you saw?
I thought Syracuse had a really good run making it that far, but North Carolina was just a better team.
Yeah.
They're able to break down that little Syracuse zone, get in the middle, get in the paint, and get some points. So
And rebound, too.
Yeah.
And defend. Who do you think is going to win the championship out of UNC and Villanova?
At this point, probably North Carolina. I think they're the best team between the two. If I had to guess, I'd say North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. They are the best team out the two, but no one thought Villanova was going to make it this far.
And they have been playing super good.
Yeah, they've been playing really good, so you can't even really count out Villanova.
Yeah, I'm just hoping for a good game, to be honest. No more blowouts.
Same. Me too, but that guy Bryce Johnson, are you guys related? Bryce Johnson?
I wish.
Sounds like you guys might be related, but you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
The forward on UNC. What do you think about him?
He's solid. He's a tough, athletic big man. Probably the best player in the game at this point.
Yeah, right. I'm going to still say his buddy.
Well, no. I'm saying in the tournament now.
In the tournament
on a whole, I would say buddy. I'm a huge Buddy Hield fan. But
oh, really?
Left in this finals game here, he's probably going to be the best player.
Yeah, we're going to get into a little bit of Buddy and how he didn't win that award later.
I was upset about that too.
Yeah, I was very, very upset about that. We're going to get into that a little later. But, what did you say about Bryce Johnson again? You said,
I think he'll definitely be a big impact in that game tonight. He's a tough big man to stop. He's hard to keep off the rebounds. So.
He is. He's like a walking, like, double-double.
Yeah, easily.
Easy. Yeah, and then Villanova, what's his name? Their best player, I forgot his name. You don't remember his name either?
I'm not even super sure,
But, what do you think Villanova is going to bring to the table tonight, though?
If they want to win, they just got to keep bringing this kind of their crazy intensity. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they got to bring that fire and kind of just jump from the start.
Yeah,
and go
from
non-stop.
The start. Yeah, that's what they got to do, their defensive intensity from the start. But, I don't know. Tonight's going to be a really good game. But, honestly, I knew UNC was going to win it from the get, but I'm an Oklahoma fan. That's why I wanted Oklahoma to win it. But
yeah.
I had UNC going all the way, though,
to
the championship.
I had UNC going all the way, too, and it was kind of a tough decision to pick between Kansas and UNC.
Yeah.
But I was also really shocked that Kansas didn't at least
did he even make it to the Final Four. Yeah. I know. Same here with Oklahoma, man. They even put up a good fight, at least, you know? They got embarrassed.
Yeah.
They just gave the game away. Never seen them play that bad. But, I feel like in the next couple of years, they're going to be okay. What do you think about Buddy going to the league? How do you think he's going to be in the NBA next year?
I think he'll transition well. I mean, he's old. He's, like, 22.
He's only 22, yeah.
Well, I'm saying he's older than all these 19-year-olds going into the league. You know, he's more mature. He has a more mature body. He has a good jump shot, which is really important in the NBA now. So he can kind of come in, and he doesn't really need to be this big scorer, but he's going to, you know, play some defense, hit his shots, and that'll definitely help him get into a rhythm and help teams out somewhere.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a big Buddy Hield fan. I think he should be a top five pick.
I feel like definitely he should. I feel like he is because in college today, like, who are the top five probably going to be? It's probably going to be Ben Simmons,
Ingram
from Duke. Who else was pretty good this year in college? I don't remember. Is Tyler Ulis a lottery pick this year from Kentucky?
I would definitely take Buddy Hield over Tyler Ulis. I mean, Tyler Ulis will probably be top 10 or 12.
Top 10. What's his name from Cal?
Jamal Murray from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, huh?
He'll be Murray. A top five, yeah.
What about from Cal? Jaylen Brown, isn't he also a top five pick? And I think Ivan Rabb also is, too.
Probably, I don't think Ivan Rabb would be a top five.
But top 10. I feel like this draft's going to be pretty solid this year. So Buddy should be maybe, if he's lucky, a number two or three pick, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be one or two because you can't really pass up on Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons. They just have too much upside just by their bodies. They're both only like 19, so they have so much development, and they just have so much upside. But Buddy will definitely be able to come in and impact teams as well. So I think he'd still be a good pickup, kind of, you know, three to five, depending on what teams need.
Yeah, true. Hopefully the Lakers get a good pick, man.
Yeah, they need something.
Did you hear about the D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young incident?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I've seen that going all over Twitter, man. That D'Angelo Russell's really taking a big hit on this. Like, do you think it's that big of a deal, or like, are people just taking it a little out of proportion?
I think it's a pretty big deal. I mean, locker room camaraderie, you know, that team chemistry thing is super important to winning basketball games. So if you can't, you know, trust your own teammate when you're in your hotel room, I mean, it's just something you're never going to forget about. Everyone's always going to be mad, and there's always going to, even, you know, a year from now and they don't talk about it and they're going to stop shunning him, it's always going to be in the back of their minds that I can't really trust this guy.
Yeah.
And I think that in the long run kind of just affects teams. No matter how good you are, if you can't trust a guy, it's just hard to be around him.
It's true, but it's different. It's a difference between trusting a guy on the court and trusting a guy off the court. I feel like what happens off the court shouldn't correlate to, you know, what happens on the court, you know?
I think I think you can go both ways on that. There's definitely a meshing middle ground between the two. So, I mean, obviously you can have a teammate that's really weird, and you're like, man, this guy's weird. I don't really hang out with him a lot. But on the court, you know, he's always working hard. He's doing things right. But once you know, D'Angelo Russell kind of crossed that boundary to where now that lack of trust is going to seep into on-court problems because they can't even talk. I mean, if there's a problem in the game, they're not going to talk about it because they're ignoring each other, and just problems are going to kind of stem and grow from that.
That's true. You can't go both ways on that, but I feel like I'm going to go the other way and just say, like, they should just drop it. Like, it's you know, it's off the court. It has nothing to do with what's happening on the court. It has nothing to do with the game. So I feel like, handle it off the court, but on the court it shouldn't matter, you know.
I mean, luckily there's only five games left in the season. Kind of finish this up. It'll be weird and awkward, and then they'll kind of have some time to go back to their homes over summer and forget about it a little bit.
Yeah,
except for Nick Young, because he's probably gonna, you know, lose his girl.
I haven't even heard like what's happened to him lately. Like, is everything okay with him and his girl? You know,
I don't. The only thing she said something on Twitter because, you know, everyone was hating on D'Angelo Russell for doing this, and she just put out a tweet like, I don't know why there's all this hate. I appreciate you taking that video. So, but I'm sure she's not happy.
Wow. I did not know about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. D'Angelo Russell's for sure going to earful because you're not supposed to send out a video of anyone's, especially your teammate, a professional athlete who's about to get married, his personal information and, like, you know,
I mean, send it out to someone. It's not like Nick Young, I mean, is some saint here. I mean, he did do wrong, too. So that's a problem on its own, but it is still kind of, you know, an infringement of privacy, breaking that, you know, quote-unquote bro code, that teammate code to put him out for that. But still, Nick Young is, you know, still technically in the wrong, too, but there's just a lot of wrongs in that situation. Yeah,
technically Nick Young is wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people in the NBA that's just like that. So I mean,
no way he's the only one.
Yeah, no way. So that's why I'm just like, yeah, it is. It does go both ways in this one, too, but D'Angelo Russell definitely did break the bro code, which is never cool.
Never cool. I would never do that to you, Reb.
Man, thank you, Brad. I really appreciate that because that'll turn out really bad if I had a girlfriend, but thank God I don't.
Yeah, good thing girls never like to talk to you. Just kidding.
Okay. Okie dokie, and we're going to take a little break here. Coming up next, we are going to talk about how Buddy Hield did not win the Associated Press Player of the Year. We'll be right back. This is Penguin Radio. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim and guest host Brad, a.k.a. Bread. We'll be right back.
To blame.
are back here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim and guest host Bread. Say hey, Bread.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
So we're going to get right back into it. We're going to talk about who should have won the Associated Press Player of the Year in college basketball. And the winner was Denzel Valentine from Michigan State. What do you think about him winning that, Brad, that award? You think that the award went to the right person, or?
You know, nothing against Valentine and that Michigan State team. I mean, he definitely had a big time year. He put up, off the top of my head, I don't know exactly, but something like, you know, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, which is definitely a very good stat line. He had a very good year. But I'm a big believer in the tournament is kind of a big test for college basketball. So coming in here, you know, he did have this great year, and him and Buddy were neck and neck. But I think him, you know, losing in the first round was definitely a big impact. So him losing in the first round while at the same time Buddy scoring, you know, 30 points a game throughout the tournament definitely, in my mind, put Buddy kind of one step above Valentine. So if it were up to me personally, I would have definitely picked Buddy Hield to be Player of the Year.
Wow, that was very well said. And I agree with you on that completely, but I think they made this decision. I heard they made this like even before the tournament even began.
Are you sure about I thought they do the voting. They did the voting like a little bit after the tournament started.
Oh, they did?
Cuz it came out I think a day or two before the Final Four.
So like anybody could vote?
No, I'm not exactly sure how this works. I know it's like I think it's a predetermined group of people.
Uh-huh.
It's like, again, the Associated Press, right? Like
yeah,
the AP. I'm not exactly sure who makes up the Associated Press, but I know that even in the voting, though, Valentine only won by 3 votes.
Yeah, he only won by 3 votes.
So it's definitely super close.
It was, but, man, I feel like Buddy definitely did get robbed. Like I said, no offense to Denzel Valentine. I'm a big fan of him.
Again, he did his thing. You know, 9 rebounds and 9 assists is no easy. I mean, that 9 assist value, because I follow ESPN on Twitter, and they always do random stat tweets. I mean, they said no one in college basketball has ever averaged 9 rebounds and 9 assists, so that's definitely a very good accolade. But I don't know. Winners win, and Buddy kind of took his team farther, and he was, like, the major role in that. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that for, like, Denzel, him losing in the first round definitely dropped his stock going into the NBA draft.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. 100%.
Like, you think he's going to be a top 10 pick maybe? Probably, right?
Yeah,
I feel like maybe.
I mean, if he's not top 10, he'll just be right on the outside of the bubble. I mean, he's a guaranteed first-round draft pick.
Yeah,
it kind of just depends who's making these first 10 picks, you know, what they need, what they see. You mm-hmm. know, these NBA scouts probably look at things a little differently, definitely a lot closer than we do.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he does in his workouts and just kind of where he lands will be interesting.
Yeah, but you think that, like, does him losing first round dropped his, like, stock, though, in the draft? Or you think that didn't really do too much?
I definitely think that it does. I mean, I'm always a big fan of the quote, and it always applies to the tournament. What is it? Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you show your stuff in the tournament. And he lost that first round. He didn't have a very big game. And that, you know, hindered his opportunity to show what he would do in these major spotlight moments.
Yeah.
So I think that alone will, it's not like that's going to drop him 10 picks, but that'll definitely, you know, if he's neck and neck with someone, it'll, you know, bump him down a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But Buddy did win the Naismith award. And, you know who Naismith is, right?
Yeah.
The guy who created basketball.
Yeah. And I'm not exactly sure what differentiates those two awards, kind of like with the voting, with the, you know, which one's higher than the other?
Yeah, I feel like the Naismith maybe is bigger than the Associated Press, because Naismith is the guy who did create the sport, like basketball. So I feel like,
yeah, and I'm pretty sure the people that actually vote for the Naismith are more basketball related people instead of, you know, the Associated Press, which I'm, you know, those people follow basketball very closely too, but again, yeah. they're still, again, from my understanding, I could be wrong, it's still kind of like these press media people as opposed to, you know, people directly involved in basketball.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, just like you said, Denzel probably did win that award just because, you know, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Like,
yeah.
When was the last time you ever heard anyone do that in college? Yeah. And on top of that, averaging 17 points. Like, yeah. That's like, wow. That's like
that's
Draymond Green.
That's a big time
Green
senior
numbers.
Year.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a big time senior year. That's like Draymond Green right there, basically. And that's where Draymond Green came from. He came yeah. from Michigan State. So
and that again, I think that'll be noted by these NBA scouts too, because yeah. not every player coming out of this draft can be a superstar. You know, not everyone's going to come out be Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin score 20 points a game. You need yeah. that Draymond Green on your team who's going to be, you know, firing ball of intensity, who's not going to be your leading scorer, but he's going to attack so many other stat brackets that's just really going to help you thrive and win.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that will – that. Like, just depending on what team and, like, what the team needs, like you said. Like, every team does need a Draymond Green, excuse me. And that's basically what Denzel is in a way. But I feel like he's a much better scorer, though, than Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see how his scoring abilities translate to the NBA.
Yeah, but he does have that maturity because he's been in college for, you know, 4 years.
Yeah.
Just like Buddy. That's why I feel like those two, like, when they get to the league, especially Buddy, because he still has such a what do you call it? A higher ceiling.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to do very well in the league just because, yeah. like, they have, you know, more experience and stuff. In
yeah. order. The way I kind of see guys like that, I think they'll come in and make a quicker impact. They'll reach their peaking points kind of quicker than Ben Simmons and, you know, like the Ingram. So they'll start contributing very quickly.
Yeah.
But then in the long run, they'll probably kind of hit that ceiling quick, which isn't uh-huh. a bad thing. I mean, they'll hit that ceiling and they could average 12 points a game over, you know, 8 years, which is a solid career and a thing guys need. So it's important to see that. But then at the same time, guys like Ben Simmons might come in and, you know, have a little bit of a rough and tough time. But then 2 or 3 years into their career, they start averaging yeah. like 25 points and they become big uh-huh. superstars.
Superstars, exactly. That's like kind of like what the rookies are doing right now, like Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell until, you know, that the big incident. And also Jahlil until he got injured.
Yeah, but, and Porzingis too. They're yeah. all kind of having injury problems. But they all, I mean, you know, Porzingis went from being booed and cried about on draft night. No yeah. one wanted him, and now everyone, you know, his jersey sales are like, no. I mean, it's because he's in the New York market, but, I mean, his jersey sales are, I think, in, like, the top five of the NBA right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Big time. People want his jerseys.
I did not know that. Yeah, he really did make a surprise in this league. Like, everyone didn't think, even me, I didn't think he was going to do all that in the league.
I wasn't surprised at all. He's a 7-foot player that's athletic with a good jump shot. He's been playing professionally in Europe for a year or two. I was like, this guy is obviously going to be at least moderately good. I mean, I didn't think he was going to come in and tank.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like a next generation Dirk Nowitzki sort of.
Yeah, just younger and thinner, but like there's just so many people that are always projected to be like that when they get drafted and then they end up getting in the league and then just, you know, not doing anything. That's yeah. why I had doubts in Porzingis, but yeah. he really did prove me wrong. Like, he's like the main scoring option at New York, yeah. even with Melo on the team.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Speaking of questionable draft picks, have you heard about Thon Maker?
Yeah.
Did you hear that he declared for the draft?
He can't do that, can he? Because he...
I was reading about this a little bit. So the NBA rule is you have to be 19 years old and uh-huh. I think 1 year removed. They don't use the word high school. It's like, you know, 4-year continuation school.
Yeah.
And I think he did a weird thing with schools in Canada. And I think by kind of like weird loopholes, he technically is eligible for the draft.
Yeah. Wow. I knew he found a way around that because he is from – he's not from Canada, but he went to school out there, though.
Yeah, that's a very questionable pick. I mean, he is 7 feet tall and kind of athletic, but, I mean, he's very thin, and no one's ever seen him play against real competition. I mean, that's just a giant yeah. jump for him.
That's true, but he has tremendous upside, though. His upside is crazy, too.
Yeah, I mean, he has tremendous upside, but I think right now he might go into the league, get dominated, yeah. and kind of get, you know – pushed out the back door, whereas yeah. if he, I mean, I don't know, I'm assuming his grades are not good if he's just trying to do this and skip college, but I just feel like a year of college would bulk him up, toughen him up, teaching some things and definitely help him out.
Yeah, same here. That's what I was talking to some people about last night. If he wants to go to the league, he definitely has to bulk up, number one. And then I feel like, second of all, just got to get a little better, got to get a little quicker, you know, things like that. But I feel like the major thing for him, all he has to do is just bulk up. I feel like he'll be okay in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, all he does is work, you know. That's all they do is work all day. So, of course, they're going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
So, once he just gets in the weight room, I feel like he'll be fine.
Still, he's going to be a little boy playing with some men.
He is.
And that's tough.
It is, but they have 82 games, mm-hmm. an entire season. Like, eventually, you know, for that 40th game, you kind of start getting the groove for the NBA a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like college, how it does take a while, but you have to kind of get it quicker than these NBA players, because, you know, they're playing with big boys out there.
Again, only time will tell. And actually, what I was curious about with looking at that, did you hear that the rule changed for declaring for the NBA draft?
For real? What's the rule?
So the new rule is anyone can declare for the NBA draft,
mm-hmm.
but you can, like, recede that at – there's, like, a certain timeline. So if you can declare for the NBA draft. So if you declare for the draft and you don't get an agent, and I think you can't take part in the NBA combine, you can pull out – like, you can pull out from the draft, like, by a certain timeline that's very close to the draft, and then you can still go to college and you don't lose any eligibility.
Oh, really?
So I was reading, like, Kentucky, their entire team is declaring for the draft. Wow. And it's a kind of way to put your name out there, you know, test the waters, see what these predictors say, and if you're in a position where you think this is where I want to go, this is where I should be, you can progress forward and, you know, then put yourself in the combine and stuff, or you can go out and test the waters and see, you know, in essence, I think I could do better with another year, and then you could pull back. So I think he might, I mean, I'm not sure, and I don't know if he has grades or problems like that, but he could also just be testing some waters right now.
Wow. I'm actually happy they finally changed that rule, because that sounds more fair, and I hope they do that for the NFL too, because the rule was, like, if you just declare for the draft, then you automatically just lose your scholarship, right?
I think so. You lose eligibility. Yeah, you lose. But football, don't you have to go to school for, like, three years?
Yeah, you have to go to school for 3 years, but... Yeah, I mean, that kind of sucks for football. I wouldn't want to go to school for, like, 3 years before I can declare for the draft. You know, you might as well just finish up your last year and then go.
Yeah, but also, football, you run the risk of getting hurt every day.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm happy that they finally did that. You think they should change the rule where you should just, like, come straight from high school, like how Bron did and Kobe and all them? You think they should do that one again, or –
I don't think they'll ever go back to that. And, I mean, you know, things like that arise is, like, a problem with D'Angelo Russell. I mean, you just get a young 19-year-old, freshly immature, never mm-hmm. done anything adulthood-like, and you just put him in this celebrity position with millions of dollars, and then you question why, you know, they go bankrupt or things go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, a certain level of maturity is needed to handle all this. So I think making them be a little bit older is good. And then I also like to watch college basketball, so I think it's nice to make these good players go through and have to actually, you know, play some defense, play hard, play, you know, college style. So it's fun to watch those guys do that.
Yeah, Sam, I love actually watching college basketball, because you just see all these young guys who are probably going to go to the NBA and just see how much talent they have and how much uprise they have. But D'Angelo Russell, I feel like he really is going to, like, change, like, the NBA, like, I feel like the rules are going to, like, he might change something, you know, like, they might have to change the rules to, like, yeah, this is going to be 2 years in college now before you go to the league, or, you know, something.
Yeah.
I feel like something's going to happen because of his immaturity.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't really blame him. How cool would it be to, you know, your roommate would be Swaggy P, you know, you just ask him questions and, you know, you just enjoying life, you know, that's all he was doing. I don't blame him. Like, he should have never sent it out, but, I mean, I don't blame him for taking the video, you know, for, like, memories. You know, we all do that.
Yeah, but he definitely made the mistake sending it out, because, again, money rules the world, and someone saw that and took an opportunity. And that person is not friends with D'Angelo Russell anymore, but he is rich, and he is going to go hang out in Hawaii and get over his problems for sure.
Yeah. You gotta know who your real friends are in this world, man.
Sure.
Real talk, because I'll be really pissed if I had a friend who did that to me. Like, we might have to fight. Real talk. But we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Warriors' first home loss of the season.
Tragic to see.
Very tragic to see. We'll come back. This is DJ Slim. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Above the Rims. Special guest, Bread. Be right back.
See her, say hello. She might be in Tangier. She left here last early spring. Was living there, I hear. Said for me that I'm alright, though good things come and go. I think I've forgotten her. Don't tell her it isn't so. We had a falling out, like lovers often will. To think of how she left that night, well, it still gives me a chill. For I know our separation, well, it pissed me through the heart. But she still lives on.
My flesh, come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now? La 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 la. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See it coming for me, by my diamonds when they glistening. Now pay attention. Peace, Father, I'm a ghost. Ghost killing fields, Hail Mary. Catch me if I go, go. Deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies see me flee. Activate my hate, let it break till I'm flaming. Set trip, empty out my. Never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted. Lucky if we bust out. Plus, Mama told me never stop until I bust it. World, if they can't adjust, it's just this way. Hail Mary, come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now? You wanna ride or die? La da 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 da. Come with me, Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now? You wanna ride or die? La da 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 da. Penitentiaries is packed with promise makers. Never realize the precious time. Institutionalized, I live my life a product made to crumble. Went too hard and for a smile, way too crazy to be humble. We ballin', catch me, Father, please, cause I'm fallin'. In the liquor store, that's the Hennessy I hear callin'. Can I get some more? Hell, till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checkin' in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with no screws in it. What can I do? One life to live, but I got nothing to lose. Just me and you, on a one-way trip to prison. All wrapped up in this living like the studs to my homeboys and Click Max doing they be. Raise hell to this and feel this when they turn out the lights. I'll be there in the dark, looking eternal through my heart. Now, Hail Mary, come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see what do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La da 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 da. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La, da, 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 da.
going on around me, brain kinda cloudy. Feeling rowdy, ready to wet the party up. And whoever in that nasty new street, slugger my heat, seat suckers on the regular, mashing in a stolen black act. Integra cock back, 60 seconds to the draw, that's when I'm dead in your feet first. You got a nice, my heat's worse. From a thug to preaching church, I gave you love, now you eating dirt, needing work. And I ain't put you on, cause word is born. When I was broke, I had to hustle till dawn. That's when the sun came up. There's only one way up. Hold your head, stay up. To all get your pay, your weight up.
If it's on, then it's on. We break beat, breaks, eyeballs on the paper chase. Can't relate to. Don't God be the shit. Gotta take. Dealing with fate. Hoping God don't move the gate. If it's on, then it's on. We break beat, breaks, eyeballs on the paper chase. Can you relate? Gotta take, dealing with fate, hoping God don't close the gate.
Come with me, Hail Mary, run quick, see what you we have here now.
We've been traveling on this way, we long time, lifeline, we are empty, no, but we ride, riding like a bullet.
Hail Mary, run quick, see what you we have here now.
We won't worry, everything will hurry, we'll like a bullet in the tree. We won't worry, everything will curry. We free like a bird in the tree. We're running from the penitentiary. This is the time for we leave it to Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
And we are back on Penguin Radio. This is your DJ, DJ Slim. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim and guest host Bread.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing right now, Bread?
Doing pretty good. Just talking some hoops.
Yeah, pretty fun. So, we're going to talk about how the Warriors took their first loss at home in the entire season.
Crazy.
What did you think about that, Brad?
Well, only caught a little piece of the first half and then most of the second half. And the Celtics just, they played a good ball game. They played super tough defense. They're making it really hard on Steph. They're really physical. I mean, they forced Steph alone to have 10 turnovers, something like that, which is crazy for Steph Curry. And I think that what they have on a total, maybe like 25 turnovers on the game.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 turnovers.
Which is, again, it's tough to win games when you're just turning the ball
22,
over.
I'm sorry, 22.
When they're turning the ball over like that, and the Celtics just made sure to capitalize. Every time they're getting these turnovers, they were pushing it, transition, and getting buckets. Isaiah Thomas was definitely getting off.
Yeah, and he had 22 points.
Even with as bad as the Warriors played, I mean, they still had a wide open Steph Curry 3-point shot to send it to overtime, and you can't really ask for anything else.
So sorry, Ayan. That is so rude of me. It's just been a long morning already. We had practice at 7 a.m. this morning. Isn't that right, Brad?
Very early.
Very early. And I had a class right after that. Barely even had time to eat. And then right after class, my radio show. So it's already been a long morning. Very sorry. But, yeah, the Celtics played a very good game against the Warriors. Who would have thought that the Celtics would end the Warriors' winning streak at home?
You know, every time the Warriors lose, I feel, besides that Spurs loss, it's to a team that they should definitely beat. So I think I need to stop saying that because they just keep losing.
Yeah, it's true. They
kind of play to the level of their competition, so they play these poor teams and play worse.
Honestly, did you think that they were going to go undefeated the entire season?
No. Undefeated?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, like, at home, though.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I thought they had a definitely great I thought they were going to. I mean, they played great. They weren't playing that fierce. I mean, there's only, what, like, a couple home games left. They definitely should have locked it out. But at the end of the day, I mean, as long as they win the finals, I don't think they'll be too sad about breaking that record.
Yeah, but they should have definitely finished it out because they only had about four more home games left.
is it at that point? It might have been four. I'm not sure. I know it's like, what, 5 games left at this point total now? Yeah. I'm not sure how many of those are home games.
But they should have definitely finished it out strong, you know. But I don't even know what happened. They had all their players. They, you know.
Well, they're missing Andre Iguodala too, which has definitely been hurting them a little bit. You can see.
Maybe on a defensive end, I guess. I don't know about too much on offensive end. Iggy doesn't do too much for them. I mean, he makes a couple threes here and there and gets his transition dunks, but I feel like he helps them the most on defense. But they have so many bench players, though, that are, like, very, like, reliable, I feel like. So I feel like having Iggy out doesn't do too much.
True.
They have a lot of players that know how to step up.
True. But sometimes, again, it's just the game of basketball. Sometimes the shots just aren't falling. Things don't go your way. There's nothing you can do. And, again, the Warriors are notorious for losing one game and then coming back out, you know, chip on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And kind of killing teams for a certain period after that.
Yeah. But they are a good team. They are a very good team, and I feel like this loss is definitely going to just have them ready for the playoffs. Like, so they're probably going to play with the Rockets or the or Utah. And I think the Pelicans are also in a race for it, too, for the eighth spot.
Uh-huh.
So either one of those teams, I feel like they're going to sweep them because the Warriors are just too nice, man. They're just an unfair team. Don't you think, Brett?
I agree. But, again, I mean, the Spurs are good, too. The Spurs might even take their home record at this point. So they can't They can't just think they're going to walk over everybody. And, I mean, they're even split with the Spurs right now in the season 1-1. So They need to lock in, focus.
And they play the Spurs. Don't they play the Spurs 2 more times, I think, before the season's over, or 1 more time?
I think they play them 2 more times.
Wow, 2 more times.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those will be at home, huh? Those will be interesting playoff indicators. You know, I mean, if they lose 2 games to this, I mean, it's kind of thing where it's an indicator, but also, you know, if they lost twice to the Spurs, they're going to come in extra mad. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of effect that those games have later on in the playoffs.
Yeah, it will be. I just want to see what type of fire the Warriors are going to bring out. But also the Spurs, man, you can't count the team out at all there. And Greg Popovich has been resting his players until they play the Warriors.
You know, the Spurs are the kind of team that just never – they haven't lost for the last decade, and no one ever talks about them. The Spurs kind of just play good team basketball. You know, Popovich is a serious coach. They don't really have a lot of flair, but he just has that winning recipe. I mean, he's smart. He doesn't care about records. He doesn't care about the regular season records. He just wants to get in and win a championship.
Exactly.
And when you got a bunch of guys on board, it's tough to beat that.
It is. That's why he's resting all his players. And he even said, yeah, I don't care about the home record. It's not about, you know, the record. It's about just finishing off the season and having the guys well rested for playoffs, because that's where, you know, that's what really matters. You know, it's just off season now. They already clinched their playoff spot. So now they're just worried about, you know, beating the Warriors, finishing off the season right, and, you know, trying to do well in the playoffs. And, this year playoffs, it might come down to just one of them, either the Spurs or the Warriors winning it all. I don't think the East really has a chance to win
this
year.
Yeah, I think whoever wins the Western Conference is gonna win it all. I think the Western Conference finals are going to be a lot more interesting than the finals themselves.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Because of the West is just so stacked this year. You got
every year now. The West is just dominating.
Like, you could say the last like 5 years, actually, they've been pretty. Last 6 years, ever since like KD and Westbrook have been on the OKC and stuff. Last 6 years, the West has been pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but I'm waiting for KD to finally get another chance in the finals. Because when they went to the finals that 1 year and only won one game. Big disappointment.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for them to be an underdog team and come and just beat every team and make it all the way to the finals.
I don't know if this year is the year for that. The Spurs and the Warriors are good. The Spurs and the Warriors are on another level this year.
Yeah, they are. They are.
They're definitely at that, you know, elite separated status from the rest of the league.
And I feel like that's just because, you know, those teams have been together for like a long time. Like, they had the same players for like a long time, both of those teams.
Yeah.
The Warriors been with Kawhi Leonard. You already know Tim Duncan's been there like his whole career. Tony's been there basically his whole career. So is Ginobili. And then Kawhi's been there for about like 5-6 years now. Just everyone off the bench. What's his name off the bench? Patty Mills.
Yeah, both teams definitely have a lot of, I mean, veterans too, but just a lot of more mature basketball players. Yeah. You know, guys that are willing to share the ball, aren't egotistical, you know, will lock in on defense. So it's definitely good to have those type of players. I mean, obviously you can see they have those type of players and they're winning these games. So. Yeah,
and Spurs are a very good mix of, like, the young players and the old players and, like, the vets, you know. They're just a great mix of those two.
Yeah, I think that the Spurs, like their GM, their general manager, does a really good job of finding players that just fit that team mold.
Fit that system.
I mean, you know, they get their superstar Kawhi Leonard. Everyone always talks about him. He's just some quiet, humble guy. I mean, he's Popovich's, you know, pride and joy. That's what Popovich wants in a player. I mean, Tim Duncan, you know, quiet. Tony Parker, quiet. Manu Ginobili, they're all these great players, but they're also, I mean, if you think about all these guys, you can't imagine them anywhere else. You can't just, they're just Spurs basketball players. So they have all these guys that just mesh and play so well together, and that's another reason why they can do so well.
Yeah, did Popovich actually say Kawhi Leonard was his pride and joy?
I mean, he didn't actually say that, but
because I could knowing see him saying,
I mean,
that.
Popovich probably would never say something that nice. But knowing Greg Popovich and what he likes and knowing Kawhi Leonard and what he does, yeah. I mean, Popovich just has to love him.
Loves it. I mean, I feel like every coach will fall in love with Kawhi Leonard. He does exactly what every coach wants their player to do.
Yeah.
Score and defend. That's exactly what Kawhi does.
Plays hard.
And plays hard.
Doesn't complain.
Doesn't make no emotion, which I think is kind of weird. To be honest, he literally.
I think those cornrows are weird too, but.
Yeah, like just looking at him, like, he's not what you would imagine him to, like, be like, you know.
Yeah.
From his appearance, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's kind of weird, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure if you talk to him, I mean, he's the kind of player you talk to in the locker room and is weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
You probably don't hang out with, but again, on the court, you're going to love him.
Yeah, you're going to love him for sure to death. But he still needs to make some type of emotion out there, like get hype or something, man.
Nah,
like,
I mean, he's winning games, he's getting points. If it's if it's not broke, don't fix it.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but like you're not having fun out there. Like,
that's just how he has fun. Can't hate the man for it.
That's how you have fun without smiling.
I guess so.
Wow, must have been tough when growing up, when his parents were trying to make him happy. It's probably like
every birthday, birthday party comes in
surprise.
He's just all, thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks, mom. Appreciate it. You're awesome. Do this again. Yeah, you know, like, show some type of emotion, man. Even when he won the MVP of the finals, was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Nothing. Just said a speech, yeah. Thanks to all my coaches and all my teammates. Like be like, yeah, we won the championship. Let's go. Woo, you know. Like, be excited, man, you know. You're what, like, one of the youngest players on the team, and you got the MVP of the – of the
NBA Finals,
yeah,
which is a rare thing.
Of the NBA Finals, like, what? Over Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili.
Some legends right
there,
too.
Yeah, over some legends, and you're not even, like, 1% excited. You're just, yeah, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Hopefully there's nothing wrong with him. I hope he just does that on purpose, because I feel like that's kind of weird. Because I'll definitely be very happy. I know you would, too, Brad.
Oh, I know you'd be saying a lot.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah. I'll be like, let's go. I worked so hard for this, but getting back to the subject, though, on the Celtics and the Warriors, I still can't believe the Celtics won. And the Celtics are actually a pretty solid team this year, too. They made the playoffs last year. They're probably going to make it again this year.
Yeah, again, in the East.
Yeah,
so it's
I mean,
a little less impressive. But, you know, making the playoffs is making the playoffs.
Yeah, in the East. The East is so weak this year. It's just the Cavs, to me, are not even that good.
No, I mean,
like, they're good, but
they're not bad. But I just can't see them getting up to that, like, elite level of play.
Yeah, the chemistry is just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, honestly.
I think it might be some chemistry problems. I mean, you just got some.
You think so?
A couple ego guys over there.
Mm-hmm. Kyrie and LeBron.
They've had their problems. I mean, J.R. Smith is probably a tough guy to play
ego.
With. And they just, you know. Putting a bunch of good guys on a team isn't it? Like, you know, you got to get that click, and they've kind of just they've been waiting, they've been grinding, you know, they take these big losses and they just haven't really been able to come together and kind of get this flow. You know, I mean, you watch the Warriors play, you know, they're moving the ball, they're talking, they're energetic, they kind of have that team feel. And you watch the Cavs, and
the ball sticks a lot.
They just don't always have that.
They don't. And the ball, compared to what you said about the Warriors, because the ball is kind of always moving. Even when Curry has the ball, it's still like, you know, he still moves it. The Cavs, the ball sticks a lot because, you know, Kyrie always wants the ball in his hands because he's the point guard, he's the ball handler. LeBron, you know,
is LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's LeBron. He's always going to have the ball and do his thing. You got JR who wants to put up a whole bunch of shots. K Love is turning into like a role player now. He's not even really a superstar anymore, like part of their big three, even though he is. He's turning into like just more of a role player. And they got Tristan Thompson, who's just a great offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
But and then they got Miles Goff. They have good bigs. Like, they have a solid team, solid players. They just
– again, they're just waiting for that that click.
They just need to click because putting a whole bunch of good players on one team doesn't always do it, you know?
Yeah. The only problem, too, is if you wait too long, the team's just going to eventually start – people are going to want to go different places,
yep,
you know?
Yep. Kyrie already wants to go somewhere else.
If they – you know, if they go into the playoffs and they don't have a very good playoff appearance, those guys are going to – they're not in the position where they're going to be like, hey, like, you know, let's come together one more year. They're going to be in the position where – and like how the league is structured now, where it's like, you know, I got to get out of here before the building burns down and try to hop on board something a little better. So
it's crazy how the league really changed into that now. Because back then it didn't used to be like that. Just like, hey, if you lose, man, we'll get them next year. You know, now it's like if people don't even make it to the playoffs, they're like, yeah, I want to leave. I'm out. I want to, you know, opt out my contract. Go somewhere else. Just like Dwight Howard. Like, this is his. Like, how many teams is this now?
Magic, Lakers, Houston.
I feel like it was one before. It's not like three. I feel like it's more.
I don't know.
It was Orlando. He didn't go to Lakers after Orlando. He went somewhere else. I think Lakers.
I'm not sure then.
I don't know. I can't remember. So it's at the tip of my.
Well, you think that LeBron James is going to stay in Cleveland for the rest of his career?
If he doesn't, something's really wrong with him. But I feel like he is. Because he went from Cleveland to Miami
dramatically in the most dramatic way possible,
and then went back to Cleveland
dramatically again. Yeah,
I don't know, because I don't even know if he's gonna win another ring, to be honest. Because like, no lie, he made it the last 5 years to the finals.
Yeah,
last 5 years, right? Yeah, to the finals, back to back to back to back, and you only won two rings. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he'll get any more chances like that. Like, that's just way too many chances, you know? Way too many, so.
Shoot. With how the East is looking, he'll probably make it for the sixth time this year.
Yeah, he probably will. But, man, hopefully they can win it one more time, because as it keeps going, LeBron just keeps getting older. And then
the hairline keeps receding.
It
keeps
receding, and then his body's going to keep declining. No offense to him. He's just – you know, old age and body is just, you know, he's not going to be able to last forever. So he better start winning these championships when he goes there and stop taking these chances for granted.
Which you can't put this all in his head. I mean, it's not like he personally is losing. You know, it's tough last year when they were more competitive against the Warriors to lose, you know, a Kyrie Irving in the first game. And he still almost put the team on his back and did it without him. But
he did.
It's tough.
This past year was definitely not his fault, because he did not have Kyrie or K Love. It was just basically just him and just, you know, everybody else on the Cavaliers, Dellavedova and the other players. But hopefully, if everyone stays injury free, then I feel like they're gonna make it, of course, and have a better what's the word I'm looking for?
Opportunity.
Opportunity, but just have a better run this year, like in the finals. Yeah. Run wasn't really the word, but you get my gist.
Yeah. Picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. All righty. Man, that was a great talk, Brad. I appreciate you having I'm sorry, I was about to say have me on your show. I appreciate you coming on my show.
Of course, I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it. if you can next week, if you're available. If not, it's all good. I'll try and find somebody else. But we are going to come to a close. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is your DJ, DJ Slim, listening to Above the Rim with guests Brad Johnson and DJ Slim. Okay, you guys have a great Monday.